go, Marshall. You're a Pearl Jam fan. You're a closet Pearl Jam fan, you.
I have, and this probably the most offensive thing ever said between 2 to 6 on this radio, I have no interest in Pearl Jam.
You're missing out, man.
None whatsoever.
You don't get it.
That's fine. That's fine. I've been mocked for my musical tastes my whole life.
Pearl Jam's it's a certain sound. I mean, it's a different, unique sound. Either I think you either like it or you don't. I understand if you don't.
I hear tell the fella who sits in this chair is head over heels for Pearl Jam.
Loves him. I worked with a guy in Houston, Marshall, that he loved The Boss. Okay,
Bruce Springsteen.
Yep. And I don't know about you. I had a hard time. I didn't really bust his balls on air too bad about this, but is it weird that an older man, he's about 10 years older than me, has been to over 50 concerts of Bruce Springsteen's around the country, maybe even in the world, in his lifetime? Is that a little weird?
I would 100% say yes. But there seem to be people who do this, specifically with Bruce Springsteen. Now, I'm a guy who grew up in New Jersey, born and raised in New Jersey. I did spend a few years living in Houston in my childhood, but predominantly New Jersey. So, in theory, I'm supposed to be on board with this Bruce Springsteen thing.
Yeah, big time.
And, in fact, like the cross-section of the Bruce Springsteen fandom, if you take older fellas who watch baseball, that's like right there in the wheelhouse of Bruce Springsteen fans. But I he's fine.
Okay.
I feel no particular I don't dislike him, but I don't have any particular great love for the guy. His concerts, or at least some of them, are like 4 or 5 hours long, which the Bruce Springsteen fans come out the other end like, oh my God, that was so great. To me, that's painful. There is nothing in the world short of sleep that I want to do for 4 hours. Nothing that I want to do for 4 hours.
Except a playoff baseball game, maybe.
I don't even want that. Give me 2.5 hours and I'm good.
I guess the point, even if you love, whoever your favorite artist is, the one that you just like, that's your go-to, when you want to just, Marshall Hook wants to get into that happy place, he goes to that whoever artist.
50 times? No.
Right?
No.
Exactly.
No.
I can't imagine seeing Pearl Jam 50 times, as much as I love him. That was a little odd. Here I am talking behind his back, but I just thought that was a little weird.
I mean, to be fair, you're talking into a microphone and you're on TV.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't know if it's fully behind his back. It's accessible if he wants it on the internet. Live stream 98.5thesportshub.com. You can find it there. So,
nice plug.
This is the Felger and Mazz program here on an agenda-free Friday. And, of course, that means it's being brought to you by Neshoba Valley Ski Area. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home at Neshoba Valley Ski Area? For info, go to SkiNeshoba.com. Also being brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. That could be your kind of place, Planet Fitness. I could see you at a place.
Oh, like I could get down to Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
I used to go to Planet Fitness. Yeah, you don't drop the weights. You know, here's the thing about Planet Fitness. The world judges, we don't. It can be a very intimidating, the gym. There's a lot of guys that look like me, you know, circus freaks walking around, you know, and but it's people just need to go. It's an intimidating place. Everybody starts at their own pace, and that starts at different times in their lives. Go in there, make it part of your daily life, man, and I think you'll see the results.
I could bench press at least 20 pounds, no problem.
Like,
I could do that.
Like how many times?
Yeah, I mean, three or four times.
Yeah, 3 or 4. Ready? You rep it out.
Yeah, that'd be no problem whatsoever.
Marshall, that's the bar weighs 45. Tell me you can at least do the bar. Okay, the bar is 45 pounds.
I would like to think I can lift things. I've been lifting kids for many, many years, and you know we have a 50-pound dog that I regularly carry around at this point. So I can lift things.
Do you know what it is? I've been doing it my whole life. I loved turning myself into a football player. The biggest donation I ever made to any entity in my entire career was to my high school weight room. I donated a lot of money to that high school weight room because that's where it all started for me. That sounds hokey, but I really turned myself into a football player by working out. Honestly, it's so much it's so part of my DNA now, and it's so part of my kind of plan to just stay mentally always in a good place. It's my salvation. It's weird. If I don't work out the day, you know, I work out 6 days a week, Marshall. If I miss a workout, it has the strangest mental effect on me. It's weird. People that work out a lot like I do, they know what I'm talking about. So it truly is, That workout for me is so important. It sets the rest of my day and the rest of my life up the way I want it. So I'll be a meathead and a gym rat. I'm a proud meathead for the rest of my life.
Well, you and I are different in that way.
It's okay.
One of these days, though. One of these days. You know what? Maybe you and I go to the gym together.
I'll take you to the gym. I got a nice little CrossFit class I can take you to. Nice little introductory thing. It's a group communal thing. You know, very supportive.
I'm ready to do that.
All right, but
there may be vomit involved for me, but I am ready to go ahead and give that a try. 617-779-0985 is the phone number, and we're going to go right to you, Kevin, in Hanover, to talk about a quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. What's up, Kevin?
How you guys doing? Listen, Ted, great to have you back. I live in Pearland very briefly, so I know Houston area. Yeah, it's awesome down there. Welcome back to the Northeast.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you as well. Quarterbacks do not lose their arm strength ever, unless they have surgeries, injuries, and whatnot. They do not. They keep their arm strength. Tom Brady has kept his arm strength. I want you to talk about the two best quarterbacks of all time: Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, bar none. Not even close. Peyton Manning, his career ended because of his obviously neck surgeries, multiple ones. But Tom Brady's not. He's probably going to play longer, and whatnot, because you don't lose your arm strength. He's a pocket passer or whatnot, but him and Manning are hands down the best of all time.
Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. I went against Peyton, even though my record is 7-1 against you, Peyton. I ran into Peyton Manning a couple years ago and reminded him of that. And when he was being the keynote speaker at a really fun event, but it's Peyton Manning is a killer. He's the best I ever played. I mean, I love playing against Elway was tough. I played against, Brett Favre, Dan Marino. But Peyton was on another level, Marshall. He was. And so, I agree with the caller when he says, like, Tom's arm doesn't seem like, I don't think that's a problem at all. I mean, you saw some of the throws he was making in that Miami game and in the Minnesota game. It was like, wow. I mean, he's still got the arm strength. The accuracy is still there. There's nothing I see in his game other than what we're seeing now is this kind of falling away thing, which I think has become this involuntary reaction to feeling pressure or perceived pressure. I think physically he still looks like he can go for a couple more years, because where does Tom Brady and Peyton Manning beat you? They beat you 5 yards behind the center, and they beat you with their brains, okay? Not with their legs and not with their arm, but with their brains. And so Tom is knows this game as good as he's ever known it. And I still think he's going to be able to see the game at a high level for the next few years. So I think he's going to be physically, fine. So
and to your point, I think that's why people were so surprised a few weeks ago when he forgot about the timeouts, right? Because typically, whatever physical maladies there may be, whatever lack of receivers or lack of deep, whatever other, extraneous things may be out there. One thing that has always been a Tom Brady hallmark, and probably a big reason why he was able to go from the 199th drafted player that nobody really had any expectation for to the greatest of all time, is the head, is the being able to see the field, being able to read a defense, being able to move around in the pocket just enough to wait until one of those receivers comes open, and seeing that receiver and being able to make that throw. All of that is mental. All of that is in the head. So when he forgets timeout, granted it was an isolated incident and everyone's allowed to have one of those now and again, you just don't see it from him. And I think that is part of the reason it was so alarming.
Yeah, no, and I get it. I get it. But I think as far as just it's one of those deals where he goes, yeah, okay, we never see him do that. He did it, but I don't think it's anything to all of a sudden go, okay, this is the beginning of the end. Mentally, he's as sharp as he's ever been. He's seen everything there is to throw at him. The one thing I do worry about, though, is you stop seeing the field as well, Marshall, when you are thinking about pass rush. I do think he thinks about the rush now more than he ever has. And that can get you, your mind going places that it used to not go. So I think that's more in the back of his mind, more in the frontal lobe than it ever was in that, than in the back now, of just the pressure and pressure coming at him.
And I feel like we saw that in the Pittsburgh game. I think the throws were more hurried in the Pittsburgh game. I think that he was, particularly in that last series, like when we are used to seeing Tom Brady make these passes and march the team down the field, he's sailing balls over guys' heads, like out the back of the end zone. And they were hurried throws that when you look at the replay, you're going, well, he wasn't really hurried there. He wasn't under threat of sack. He wasn't about to be tackled. Why did he hurry that throw? And maybe that's what you're talking about, just the age factor and being more aware or more worried about taking the hit.
And I think he's more worried about taking hits now more than ever. And then when you think about the fact that Gronk isn't as explosive and getting up the field as he used to, that there's not a lot of guys that are getting good off beating jams early in the routes, he's holding on to the ball longer than maybe he wants to. I mean, Tom Brady, that ball will come out fast. It was efficient, boom, boom, boom. And so you didn't have to worry about pass rush. Now he's working with new guys, guys that maybe aren't the same caliber of player they used to be. He's holding that ball a tick or two longer than he used to. Now he's feeling that pressure. Now the timing all gets thrown off and you have what you have.
Sean and Still, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All right, man. What's up?
Hey, Ted, I wanted to ask you a question about the Patriots defense that they've been playing here for the last couple years. So they've been playing that bend but don't break style of defense for the last couple years. And it seems to me that that's a style of defense that you have to play when you just don't have the horses to play a more aggressive style of defense. Pretty sure looking at the Broncos and Seahawks defense from a few years ago, I don't think they were playing with a bend but don't break style. And so do you think if Bill had the horses to actually play a more aggressive style, he would? Or do you think he would just keep going with the way he's been playing defense? Thanks.
You bet. Sean, I'd almost say it's almost the opposite. It's almost the opposite. And when it comes to you don't have the horses, so you play a more conservative style because you don't have the horses, I think it's the opposite. I think you play more conservative when you have dominant players at the positions that we used to have on our defense. Do you know, Marshall, our bread and butter, front and coverage for the teams I played on in those 2000s when the blank was sitting the fan and we were getting getting the ball moved down the field and guys weren't lining up where they were supposed to, missed assignments, Rack would always call 34 cover 2, ready break, basic cover 2, and it was like just, our three down linemen, four linebackers, we all knew it, and we could dominate it because we had so many talented football players. We could run more basic stuff and beat you. It's like, we're going to be in cover, we're going to be in our 34 front. We're going to be in cover 2. You know it. We know you know it. But you're not better than us. We had better talent. When you have, I think, when you don't have the talent that you need, I think you got to manufacture pressure. You got to come up with exotic blitzes. You got to be more creative in what you're doing. And after that bye week in the Jets game, Brian Flores turned up the heat, man. He started bringing guys, and he was being more of an aggressive mindset. And he was doing that for the first two or three games after that bye week. He hasn't done that as much. I think he needs to do that. These guys want to be blitzing. They want to get calls that say, we're sending pressure. And what it does is when you start pressuring a lot like he was after the bye week, now when you don't pressure – that quarterback feels like there's pressure coming, even though it's a 3- and 4-man rush, but because he's been getting blitzed the whole game, all of a sudden he's a little bit nervous even on those 3- and 4-man rushes. So it really serves them well, I think, when they blitz and have a more blitzing mentality. And when they don't and they're more conservative, they don't have good enough players to sit back and let them drive up and down the field. They need to be more of an attack-minded defense.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. We're here on the Felger and Mads Show. Couple segments left to get yourselves on the air. Ask your question here on an agenda-free Friday.
Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots, provides great food for great fans. Grill up Stop and Shop Butcher Shop USDA Choice Sirloin Steak Tip Value Packs for just $4.99 a pound. See all the great deals at stopandshop.com.
I'm Dana Katz from Milton's. Guys, there's nothing better than looking terrific on the outside in a new suit or coat, knowing on the inside you got an amazing deal. That's what Milton's Big Winter Clearance Sale is all about. Every suit, sport coat, blazer, and tuxedo in the store is on sale. Plus, you'll get great deals on dress shirts, ties, and shirts. shoes, and all sportswear and winter coats. At South Shore Plaza Braintree and Route 9 Chestnut Hill Square. It's the big winter clearance sale at Milton's, the store for men. You'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes.
It's the Ram Big Finish event, where unbeatable capability meets unbeatable deals on our entire lineup of Ram trucks. You won't need an extravagant light display when the true showstopper is the Ram 1500, named one of Ward's 10 best interiors. Nor will any holiday errand be too much to handle, thanks to Ram 1500's best-in-class V8 towing and the available Hemi V8 engine. And with Ram 3500's best-in-class fifth-wheel towing, you'll give Old St. Nick's sled a run for its money. During the Ram Big Finish event, well-qualified current lessees of competitive vehicles get a low-mileage lease on select 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Express Quad Cab 4x4 models with a V6 engine for $169 a month for 24 months with $3,879 due at signing. Tax, title, license, extra. Class based on light-duty pickups and 350, 3500 pickups when properly equipped. Properly secure all cargo. Always tow within the vehicle's capacity. On oldest 30% inventory of 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Express Quad Cab trucks as of 12/4/18 while dealer stock lasts. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution to lease the Chrysler Capital. 25-cent charge for each mile over 20,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 1/2/19.
Hey, New England, game time is about to get even better now that Rhode Island's Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, all new sportsbooks powered by bookmaker William Hill, are now open. Bet on your favorite college and pro teams and do it just 45 minutes from Boston and 10 minutes from Providence. Visit sportsbetri.com.
You can't buy a better quality diamond for a lower price anywhere in Boston. That's the ROM Diamond Guarantee.
ROM Diamonds, Route 24, Exit 17B.
It's a tradition that started on New Year's Day, 2008. Take a game created on frozen lakes and ponds back outside. The Winter Classic once again features your Boston Bruins taking on another original 16. The Chicago Blackhawks, this time in the shadows of Touchdown Jesus, Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend, Indiana. 98.5, the Sports Hub, has the only local call of the game. Presented by Coors Light, Felger and Maz will host Bruins fans at our official pre- and post-game location, O'Rourke's Public House. Party starts New Year's Day at 10 a.m. and continues after the game until 6. The Winter Classic, live from Notre Dame, presented by Coors Light and sponsored by UMass Lowell on the home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's what you're listening to. It's me, Marshall Hook, along with Ted Johnson, Mike O'Brien, taking you right up till 6 o'clock, where I'll bet you Big Joe Murray's going to come in and talk the sport ball with you as well. Right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, taking your call in order of weight. That brings us to Tom and Drake It. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen, and hi, Ted Johnson. A question for Ted Johnson regarding the Patriots. Over the years, since the beginning of Belichick's coaching era, how has he evolved as a coach, in your opinion, from the start with you and where he's at now?
Tom, by the way, before you even get to that, ask the question out.
Yeah.
That's my kind of caller. Yeah. And by the way, there are like 9 of you, so you're all going to have to be like that from here on out.
All right, I'll try and answer this question quick. You know, I feel like Bill is, for the most part, he's still the same guy. I mean, he's still the emotionless guy in the sense that he really makes decisions with his emotion out of it. I mean, he's never shown emotions. I don't know if he's capable of showing any emotion, but he doesn't put emotion into anything as far as, like, you know, maybe, you know, making a decision because he likes the guy. That was, I would say, for the most part. But I would say maybe that has changed. So I think maybe, just maybe, he's lost a little bit of that killer mentality, okay? Like, for instance, why is Trey Flowers on this team? Trey Flowers is in this is his last year of his contract. Word is that Trey Flowers and them had tried to negotiate, but they couldn't come to an agreement. If in the past, if you were somebody that they wanted to re-sign, worthy of re-signing, that you brought up in your system, and you were offered a contract by the Patriots, before your contract had expired, and you said, no, I'm good, I'm going to test free agency, then...
You don't hang around.
You don't hang around. Yet Trey Flowers is still hanging around. And so you want is like... And you heard the comment that maybe Bill only wants to coach guys that he likes.
Yes.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Well, that's and he said it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the a-holes that he used to have, you know, helped make this team win. I mean, Vrabel, Richard Seymour, to name a couple of guys that maybe, you know, he shipped out of here. But those were damn good players, you know. But now I feel like there's certain things where he's kind of, you know, he's not as... I don't know, brutal in his consequences for players. I feel like he just kind of lets. I see a lot of guys underperforming, yet I don't see their snaps being taken away. So maybe he's lost a little bit of that stinger, that kind of cutthroat mentality that he certainly had when I was playing for him.
Now I do think one thing is probably true: the Bill Belichick that we see primarily in press conferences, who's surly and doesn't talk and snorts more than he actually uses words, is not the same Bill Belichick you guys see at some level, right? I mean, he is a warmer fella than we get in media availability.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I talked to Kevin Falk a few years ago, and it was actually when he was still playing. So it was years back, and when Kevin was still playing for Bill, and I asked him, somehow the Halloween party came up. And he was like, yeah, can you meet Bill Kane as a pirate? And I'm like, wait a minute. Bill Belichick came to the team Halloween party, which I've won best costume twice at.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, he's never had gone to any, you know, team event that wasn't mandated by the owner, right? And I was told that, yeah, he's kind of lightened up a little bit. He's more engaging. That was a while ago. So, you know, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I just feel like he doesn't have that killer kind of stinger as far as making these decisions that he used to make no problem. I feel like, you know what, it's harder to make those tough decisions for him now.
Mike in Rhode Island, you're up next.
Hey, so I had a quick question regarding the Patriots' potential playoff matchups in a couple weeks, assuming they get the job done against the Jets. I was wondering who would be a better matchup against the Patriots, the Chargers or the Chiefs? I don't know.
I mean, neither of those are great. I still think, I mean, listen, I know that a lot of people are ready to dismiss Andy Reid in the playoffs. He's a guy who apparently has yet to acquaint himself with the fact that football is a timed game, that there is a clock that you need to pay attention to and respect. That said, Patrick Mahomes has been otherworldly for much of this season, despite a couple losses for them of late, and they have tools beyond him. I still feel as though I'd rather face the Chargers than I would the Chiefs, in as much as everybody is ready to say Andy Reid in the playoffs is something I could take on.
I mean, you can make an argument for both teams. I would pick the Chiefs because Ted, that's Arrowhead. Yeah, I know it's hard to win in Arrowhead, but the Patriots, I think, have had recent success in Arrowhead. I don't think Arrowhead has this thing, you know, over the Patriots. I just feel Patrick Mahomes, look, he didn't have an interception all season long until he played the Patriots, and he threw his first two, I think, in the first half of that game. Like, even though he ended up kind of getting his mojo back, I just think a second time, you get a chance to play a young quarterback a second time around in Pat Mahomes in the playoffs when there's a lot more on the line, I think Belichick can have a better kind of go at it. And I just think Rivers is poised to kind of finally get over the hump. And that team, I think, just toughness-wise, Marshall, I think they're just a tougher team. You know, I mean, they got a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. No other team in the AFC can say that. No team has a great, you know, a good offense and a good defense in the AFC. It's either one or the other.
Sully in Watertown, what's up?
Hi, gentlemen. Ted used to see you out in the mean streets of Medfield back in the day. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, bud. That was my old stomping ground. Me and Bledsoe and Pete Carroll all lived in Medfield.
Oh, it was great what you guys did for our football program. Really appreciate it.
You bet, man.
So my question is around sort of these high-profile college players that are bailing on these kind of pointless bowls. One in particular, Will Grier. I'm watching the West Virginia game right now. He bailed on the team to kind of prepare for the draft. I get why they do it and all, but just wanted to get your thoughts on kind of the thing to do nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so I would, I'm not surprised. And is it, as a guy, you know, who's read the book, The 100-Yard Lie, Rick Tellender wrote a book called The 100-Yard Lie. He talked about college football being the biggest labor exploitation thing in America. Well, there's some truth to that. I mean, these kids, you know, they risk a lot, you know, for a university that makes millions off of them. So when a kid, I think, has a chance to go make a lot of money in his, you know, pro career, I think a certain bit of kind of understanding and liberty should be given to that guy. I'm okay with it. I think McCaffrey did it last year. I forget who did it. Who was like the first guy to do it a couple years ago?
And I don't remember who that person was. I have zero issue with this whatsoever.
The running back from LSU, yeah. The kid down in Jacksonville who played at LSU. His name is skipping me. But
this is where Michael Bryan is supposed to leap in. Leonard Fournette.
He was one of the first guys to do it.
Yep.
And it was like, you kind of get it. I kind of get it. Unless you are in one of the top four teams playing in the college playoffs, I kind of get it. If it's a bowl
game, I don't think any of those people have bailed out. I don't think anyone has bailed out of an actual championship or playoff game. But these
bowls, would say something about the player if he did.
Yeah, these bowls are meaningless.
Yes.
And to suggest that a player who is a player big enough that is going to get drafted hasn't already done their part for that school and for that program. Yeah. If they are in a bowl game and they've played their 4 years, then you know what? They've done their part. They have done part for the program.
Totally
they've
agree.
Gotten to that point. And one more game in a meaningless bowl is not going to make a difference in that at all. College bowl games, to me, unless they're those championship goals, bowls are a crock. And if you don't believe that, all you need to do is look at the fact that Boston College and whoever it was that they were playing just didn't play. Like, they just decided, you know what? It's been delayed for... Yeah. You know what? We're just not going to play. That's how important that college bowl game was that Boston College will crow up and down about making, is it was so important they didn't even bother playing it. And so those players at BC will say, oh, we made it to a bowl game. Did you? Because if I look in the record books, there is no bowl game. There is no bowl game in 2018.
First Responders Bowl is not important in the national college football scene?
Says the BU, what, Bobcat? What was
Terriers.
Your
B Terriers.
Okay.
Oh, it's all clear now.
That's
okay,
what it's,
never mind.
It's like 617. It's BC's fault they didn't play the game.
It is, because BC sucks. 779-0985. We're a little late to get into Mike O'Brien's headlines. Quick break. We'll be back with one more round of your calls here at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
As the New England Patriots prepare for their regular season finale on Sunday versus the New York Jets, looking for a win that will clinch a first-round bye. And Tom Brady spoke earlier today about the challenge New York presents.
Yeah, it's a tough division opponent that we know pretty well, but it's a tough, grinded-out game. They're well coached. They got some good players, good defense, playing well offensively. So it's a big test.
And Jacob Hollister is the only player officially out. Offensive tackle Adrian Waddle made an appearance on the injury report, listed as questionable, along with tight end Dwayne Allen, special teamer Brandon King, and wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson. The New York Jets released their injury list. Cornerback Morris Claiborne and linebacker Kevin Pierre-Louis deemed out for Sunday's contest, as well as wide receivers Jermaine Kearse and Quincy Nunwa. This didn't prevent Nunwa from signing a four-year extension today worth a maximum of $36 million. Brad Marchand left last night's loss for the Bruins with an upper body injury after a hit from New Jersey's Travis Sajak. And now multiple reports say that Marchand is unlikely to play tomorrow in the road game against the Buffalo Sabres. Defenseman Charlie McAvoy, he remains out, still working back from his lower body injury. And David Backes may also be unavailable. He'll have a hearing with the NHL Player Safety Department after throwing an illegal check to the head of Devils forward Blake Coleman. Bruins drop the puck against the Sabres at 7 p.m. in Buffalo tomorrow and will then get ready for the Winter Classic on New Year's Day against the Blackhawks at Notre Dame Stadium. Auburn and Purdue battled in the Music City Bowl earlier today. The Tigers set a bowl record by scoring 56 points in the first half before coasting to a 63-14 win. These Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank, trusted guidance, creative solutions, and delivering on what they say they will do. Learn more at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking, equal housing lender. This is Mike O'Brien for the latest on what's happening in Boston sports. Tell Alexa to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can also enable 98.5 The Sports Hub in the skills section of your Alexa app and listen to podcasts of Toucher and Rich and Felger and Maz. Thanks for listening to Sports Hub Headlines.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You crazy?
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire today. And it's the end of the year, so now kind of the best of, right?
Yes.
Felger Maz.
So are we starting with a Squeaky Maz, a Mad Mike? What do we have?
That is exactly what we're starting with. The best of Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike.
All right. Enough of this.
You forget Roethlisberger. His heart's not in it anymore. Again, his heart hasn't been in it for a while. And he has the audacity to get pissed off when they draft a replacement because they see him half-assing it and showing up like the whale that he is, for crying out loud. His fat ass. He looks huge now. He was never fast, but he was strong. It was hard to pull down, and he could move a little bit. Now, he's a big pile of jelly back there, the fat load.
You got a little bit of the fat Felger face going on.
For about 3 years now, he's fat and he's out of shape.
My body too
disgusting
for you, baby.
You fat slob.
I missed. Who are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Because I'm like, listen, I know that they had an issue with Tom Brady's weight at the beginning of the season. I'm like, he never really got this worked up over Tom Brady, did he? He was a little doughy to begin the season. But, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, a big tub of goo. There's no doubt there.
I think Maz can just get a whole thing going where people just have him insult them. Like, I just want to be insulted by Tony Maserati. I think it would be hilarious to be insulted by Tony.
All right, give it time. It'll happen.
Probably so.
All right, so what's Mike mad about?
Mad Mike having some thoughts on the Minnesota Vikings horn.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
This, folks, you may get to witness firsthand if the Vikings make it, and, you know, you're going to be there, but if the Vikings make it, the tool bag horn that Minnesota plays after
the
a good gal play.
Gal horn, I think is what it is.
No, it's a Viking horn.
I believe it's called a gal horn.
You know you're dealing with a bunch of old tool bags when they blare that thing after a penalty. When you start doing that for a flag, you, sir, are an
tool.
You are a tool. That makes you a bad Little League parent. That makes you a bad person. Don't celebrate the flag. Especially now with the ticky-tack pass interference call. They can drop that thing at a moment's notice.
Well, it's been a lot of years of misery.
So the guy's covered, bailout flag, play had no chance, but the idiot back judge shows the yellow flag. Those Minneapolis, whatever they call themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minnesotans.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sneaky bad people.
Jeez.
Sneaky bad people, and that horn is the latest indication.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, Mike Felger's from Wisconsin. That's really not all that far away from Minneapolis. So
that's true. That's great stuff right there. Outstanding. Marshall, I enjoyed it, man.
I had a tremendous time
Mike,
doing
thank
this.
You. Thank you.
You know, I'm going to remind Mike Thomas and Rick Radzik that should they be looking for a new weekend show, something to launch, I think that Johnson and Hook, I'll give you first billing, might get confused with Johnston and Flynn, which also features a former NFL player. But maybe that would be something that would look good on the weekends.
I don't know. I count me in on that.
Big Joe Murray, I believe you're up next for how many action-packed hours?
5 full hours tonight.
God bless you, brother.
It is the final 5-hour show of the year. Ted Johnson, I've never met you before. I'm friends with Sean Pendergast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.